designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Two, one, go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And we're just finishing out Dawson's Creek week out here in North Carolina. Josh Jackson is our guest tonight. Josh, one of the original four cast members, sixth season, and Josh directed our episode that we did all week. And we were at dinner tonight, Josh, and we were, as we tend to do, going over everybody in the cast, what they needed, what they didn't need.
A little diagnostic
critique of everybody. But I'll tell you, when your name came up, glowing reviews.
That's because I wasn't acting in this episode.
But Josh is...
As an actor, this kid, he's a great director.
24 years old, and this was his first episode that he's directed, his first episode of anything that he's directed. Yeah. He's telling us before the show tonight, and a total pro.
Unbelievable. Energy, enthusiasm, professionalism. Really, unbelievable.
Yeah. I know, and that sounds like an ass kiss party, and maybe it is, but we were both very impressed.
Thanks, guys. You guys have been great. I mean, this has been probably more laughing than we've done in the entire 6 years.
This is the
show.
Ass kissing now. See, this is.
Yeah. Well, you guys obviously don't watch a lot of Dawson's Creek. This is much more a tears than laughter show.
Yeah, the schedule's been a little hellish for us. You're here now, so you understand what this is like. But had a good time overall.
Yeah, we did.
And Drew's acting's a little wooden. I want to apologize.
Well, apparently it was good when I was just... Busy gave me a critique last night.
Well, Busy Phillips came in here drunk last night with Michelle and Oliver. And you know when you're drunk, you tend to speak your mind.
Right.
You start calling your girlfriend fat, telling your dad you hate him. Well, it was that kind of thing with Drew. It's like...
Oh, my Lord.
Busy was like, yeah, Drew, you're good when you're the doctor, but... Hold on, let me take this lampshade off, or at least turn around where I cut the hole for the mouth. But when you're not playing you, you're not a good you.
That's good.
But you're still hot.
That should really help the warm romantic scene you guys have tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Busy is falling in love with Drew during the episode. And she's up Drew's alley, too. Hot blonde, sassy blonde.
It's a cute scene. It's not a... Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. Great, thanks.
Back me up, Josh.
Get him all wigged out before we do this tomorrow. Thanks. That's helping me a lot.
He's a total pro. He'll be fine. He was in Man of La Mancha in high school, right?
1972, yeah. Matter of fact, no.
Yeah, once you got it, you don't lose it. But, Josh, you were impressed with my ability, right?
Of course. Absolutely. Why not? Where's the ass kissy sound now?
I too, was entertained, I must say, today when, out of the blue, he talked about... semen and its use as a skin
emollient. That's right. We can say that here now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're
not going to use that on the show?
I'm not bound. I will use pieces of it.
Please,
you mean you can't do with the part when he ate Mexican food to get the semen?
Oh, actually,
right?
The Mexican food will be there.
Oh, I see.
But the cum face, the cum versus Noxzema skin test, that might not make it onto national television.
Well,
sorry,
we did a little free riffing today and got off the script just a little bit. And
were we ever on the script? Let's be fair.
No, but we're at least using it as sort of
a
rough guide. Yeah. And when you get completely off it, things always take a turn for the scatological. At least with me.
I can only hope and pray that my bosses are not listening to this because they haven't seen any of the footage yet. So just
they're
so you know,
just
we did actually
cut.
Shoot some of the script today.
Well, we were just. We're just very impressed with your ability and your professionalism
and hustle. And to be able to manage a large crew that included, 50-year-old Teamsters, guys like me, guys like Adam, your own peers, and then a crew you've worked. It's amazing.
Well, thank you, but there you go. You get the kissy noise again. But truthfully, like I said, you can't... Oh, I guess I said this before the show, so I'll say it again. You can't... This is the most supportive environment that I could possibly be in because I'm with Unlike a TV show that you work on anywhere else, especially in L.A., where people are coming in and every couple of weeks it's new faces, we literally have had the same crew since day one. So it's not like I'm not asking a bunch of guys who don't know me to pull weight and get it done quickly. I'm asking a bunch of guys that I've done this for 6 years, and so there's a lot of sentiment built up.
This is the last season of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
And
last couple episodes.
You busted your directorial cherry on us, all over us, Drew.
That was in you, I believe.
This week, but now, so for Joshua Jackson, down the road. I mean, you want to do some more features? You want to do more directing?
Because Adam has a pitch for it.
You got any ideas? Because I'm about to be out of work. I got a lot of time on my hands.
Well, I'm sure you're sought after. I mean, would you like to? You want to do more TV? I mean, if you had your druthers, and I know sometimes you don't get to do everything you want to do, but if you had your druthers, what would you be doing?
If I got to paint my perfect picture for the future, I would be able to work in feature films. Just because the amount...
Acting or directing or either?
Acting, certainly. I mean, at this point, I'm having a lot of fun directing, but this is only one third of it is being on set, so we'll see how it looks when it's all cut together. Mm-hmm. But... acting being my first love, and there's something when you work on a feature film, you have so much more time to get really into the scene, one, and you have much more time. You know, I miss having family time, and I miss being in Vancouver, which is my home, and I miss it. Working on a television show, as you guys have found out this week, it is the sole focal point of your entire life.
Yeah.
So it will be nice to have some of that time back to go and reintroduce myself home, to just, you know, to be a part of my mom's life again and my sister's life again and the guys.
Your sister's in New York, though, right?
Yeah, so I guess that'll be... But even still, you know, she's in New York, and if I don't work 70 hours a week, I can still see her. Yeah, I can see her more.
All right,
so that's the only downside. I mean, the upsides are obvious and apparent, but that's the only downside, is that it's consuming.
I say the sky's the limit for this kid, Drew.
I think his parents need a parenting TV show.
Yeah. Drew was... Won. We were eating dinner tonight, and he's like, Josh's parents must have done a great job on him. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to kick my dad in the nuts when I get back to L.A.
Well, I tell you, just to be perfectly serious, my mother, it's just my mother, but my mother did raise two kids by herself, which is something that deserves a medal,
in my opinion. To have the sort of poise that you have at 24 is pretty amazing, because I at 24 was wearing a wind-up beanie, and I was playing with one of those paddles that had the ball with the elastic on it.
That was your penis.
Here
we go.
Now, why didn't we have that
next
in the improv today?
All right, here we go.
Okay, sorry.
This is Jason, 23.
Drew, Adam, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Good.
Hey, Josh, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Okay, my question is, I've been tested for sexually transmitted diseases, and I've come up negative. I've been with my girlfriend for over a year, and we've both been monogamous. She still insists that I should wear a condom because she thinks that some men have a protein in their semen that can cause cervical cancer.
Well, she's kind of right. She's sort of right. The protein is the wart virus. And the wart virus you can have and not know it. There can be almost no way to detect it in some men. Have you been very sexually active before?
Not really.
How many partners have you had?
Seven.
You probably haven't. You have more than about five partners. You're pretty likely to get it.
That's untrue.
It's true. And you
true. I know. Every time I hear this, it just makes me think about your wart-covered penis. That's what I think about. You say everyone has seven partners is not a
whole lot, but it's enough for her to say, hey, wear a condom to protect me against that virus. Why not?
It's not your dick. Of course, why not? He has a monogamous relationship with his girlfriend. It's going on a year. He doesn't want to wear a condom every time they're intimate. What do you mean, why not? This guy over here? Wait, no brains at all.
But my curiosity would be, does this mean that every woman on earth has warts?
That everyone
according to Drew.
It's about somewhere between 30 and 50%.
Yeah. It's a little.
Very common.
It's
young
lower
women.
Than that. It's, lower
it's
than
certainly
that.
30% in urban, you know, sort of college type students.
We'll get it and, down to 15%
Josh,
if I keep working
Josh,
on
them. Wear the condom, right?
No, I'm with wear the condom. Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, those.
Don't listen to Adam.
Those Greeker groupies, they're covered with stuff. I mean, You got to be careful with
the
that.
The gift that keeps on giving. No, thank you.
All right, so listen, what are we doing with Jason here?
Right, sorry, I got off topic.
I think the girlfriend is perfectly justified. It's up to her. It's not up to him. She wants to take all, you know.
He has been tested. Yeah,
but there's no but test Jason, for this.
We're talking about a sensation issue here, right?
Yeah, well, and just a sort of general convenience and also an intimacy thing. I mean, you're here in a relationship. Someone says put this on.
Couple questions. Jason, how old's your girlfriend?
She is 23, so.
Yeah. And has anyone poured acetic acid on your penis to see if there are any pre-wart lesions on there? Vinegar.
You're laughing. I had that.
I did it to Adam.
Bet him $100. He was crowing about everybody having warts. I said, bring it on. Dump it on.
Jesus Christ. I just dumped acid all over my penis.
That's when we did that.
She has her annual pap smear and whatnot. And
yeah, but you've been wearing the question is not whether she has it. The question is whether you have it.
Have I been tested for that? I have not.
All right. Well, so just go get tested for that.
That's what she's worried about. So.
Tell her Drew said it was the wart virus, and go get tested, and show her the documentation, and then bang away.
All right. Lisa's 19.
Sounds like a real trusting relationship.
Yeah.
She's got some issues.
She's that's a little freaked out. Yeah. She probably washed her hand a lot and that kind of thing. She's probably obsessive about this
right.
thing. Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. My boyfriend has this problem with my fiance. Hmm. We're going to get married in
How
April.
How old is he?
Huh?
How old is he?
He's 29.
How old were you when you started dating him?
I was 18.
All right.
So he's 28. You were 18 when you met.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. We try to have sex, and like every after we have sex, he has this feeling like he's done something wrong, or like there's something wrong with him. He feels bad, and you know, like it causes him not to want to do it anymore because it's like he knows what's going to come with it.
So where is this guilt coming from?
Well, he was molested when he was younger by his uncle.
All right, so there you go. One of the things that happens when kids have been sexually abused is. They feel powerless, they get traumatized, but at some point they kind of start liking it. We had a caller a couple weeks ago, remember, was saying she was looking forward to it and she felt horrible about it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that is where kids start feeling extra super guilty later on. It becomes, there's something dirty and wrong with me that made this man abuse me, and therefore whenever I'm having sex, I'm sort of re-evoking that same dirty part of myself. Even though it's ridiculous. But it's something that you're not going to be able to talk him out of. It's something he would need therapy to get through. All right?
Okay. Well, now, see, he also says that the feelings that he gets are the same kind of feelings that he gets when he has, he gets these, like, spells where they're like anxiety attacks.
Yeah, I know.
Freaks out for a little bit.
Lisa, look, he had a big trauma. It's not been treated.
Yeah, he's got to get some therapy. Has he been treated for this?
I think that he was for a little bit. But
yeah, this is not a little bit. The dose is not a little to deal with something like this. It's a big dose necessary to deal with traumas of this magnitude.
Yeah. When are you getting married?
April 12th.
All right. He's got to get in some therapy. And you know, you're 19. I mean, I would push this thing off a couple of years.
Mm.
Let him get some therapy. Let him get his feet underneath him.
Strangely enough, for me, this one is not about the relationship. It's really about his
symptoms. Get married and then get some therapy. But guys get lazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't want to make their payments once they get hold of the pink. The pink, you get it? Yeah. About this close to dropping trow. Yeah, we said, Josh. I'll do it, too. I'm a madman.
No, you're a madman.
No, I'll do it. No, don't shut my mic, man. I'll say anything at any time.
God.
All right. Dropping trow. All right, so go ahead and get married, and then have everyone... Instead of getting you a bread maker or toaster oven, get therapy.
Therapy. Coupons, yeah.
That would really be the best thing that just about anyone could get for their wedding. It's just
marriage counseling therapy coupons.
You have a big tote board. It's like we're up to 72 clinical hours.
Yeah.
Like, of course, there's your 50 minutes, so we would adjust that. But the point is every couple could use this. All right, Drew, where are we? Got a new call here?
Ian, who's 17. Ian?
Drew.
Ian?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Drew, just first of all, you're speaking at my school in a few weeks. I'm psyched to hear you.
Where are you going to be?
Brentwood School in L.A.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've gone to Brentwood School.
Yeah. Yeah, what is Brentwood School? You're playing high schools now, Drew?
Some high school.
Oh, yeah. Buddy, you are sliding.
I like talking about high school.
Slide in. When he was with me, we'd only do Ivy League. And now...
only top-notch schools.
Pretty soon, he
PS 124, yep, next up.
He's going to be over Walter Reed Junior High in North Hollywood the following week.
Just then keeping it real, dude.
Yeah.
With your people. I like it.
What's up, right, Josh?
You know who got me to speak at Brentwood?
Who?
Is Pat O'Brien's wife.
Why, their kids go
there
or something?
Yeah.
I know their kids.
Yeah.
Do those kids really need a talking to? What do you do with those kids?
Listen,
yeah, your parents are all filthy rich. Try not to blow yourself up on heroin before your dad buys your education for you.
Exactly.
I mean, is that what that speech is?
Yeah, that's it. How'd you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, the road ahead is wrought with pit holes and stuff. Like, it's going to be very dangerous going out into the future. But meanwhile, everything's taken care of, right,
yeah,
Drew?
No, yeah, I sound like a valedictorian from Legally Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the kind of topic.
We got Arnold's kids at our school.
See what I'm saying?
I'll be back.
Schwarzenegger.
Do they have crazy jaws?
Wait, I love in L.A. Nothing personal, dude.
They got Maria Shriver's nose.
I love in L.A. that you got kids who go to school, and they just figure, hey, we got Arnold's kids. We know Arnold. You know Arnold, right?
I'm thinking of John Kimball.
Yeah, I know Arnie.
Hey, Ian?
Here's what I love about Arnold, too. Wait, play that drop again. Anderson, if you can.
Can't.
I can't.
Okay. Okay. But wait, and you're a student at the school, right?
Yeah.
And you call the fellow students kids?
Yeah, I guess so.
Come on, man. Are they younger than you?
You know what?
Yeah.
Are you from, Ian, did you spend time, Ian, do you spend any time on the East Coast?
I have.
Yeah. People on the East Coast call themselves kids all the way through college.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm showing my left coastness.
Let me hear the Schwarzenegger drop one more time.
I'm Detective John Kimball.
John Kimball? With the thick Austrian accent?
This drives me
insane about Schwarzenegger. I am John Kimball. It's like, no, why don't you just call yourself John Hoodengaga, and then all you got to do is have your supervisor go, listen, this isn't Bavaria anymore. We do things differently over here. And it would all be explained. Yep. But he's John Kimball with this crazy accent. You can barely understand the Kimball part.
Detective John Kimball.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
I'm looking through my calendar. I can't, what's the date I'm coming there?
All right. I think this is your own personal line.
Paper, yeah, whatever.
I'm trying to figure out when I'm coming.
All right, Drew, put that down now.
Hey, come on. Shut up.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for the...
Focus.
Wait, we're having a domestic dispute in the...
What's that, Ian?
Speaking twice.
Oh, I'm doing the parents, too?
Yeah.
All right, look. Ian, what's up?
Okay,
you got a question?
My problem. My girlfriend's got a nasty vagina.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it.
All right. What do you think the first things you have when I arrive at the Brentwood School?
Yeah, I was about to say,
I was the guy who said...
I'm nasty vagina guy.
Yeah, and then here's the best part. You said, nail her, go in the back door and kick her to the curb, and that's what I did, Drew. Yeah.
Brentwood High, 2004. Woo!
Yeah, Marie Shriver's, Schwarzenegger's kids here, yeah. All right,
man.
Ian?
Yeah.
And Drew, please put down your thing because
it bothers you.
No, you think you're not distracted, but you are because you don't say anything for 10 minutes.
Let me answer the question there.
Are there products on the market?
Boy, you really...
April 25th,
You need to really... Hold on, Ian. Before you get deeper into this, you need to really think about how close you're coming to totally busting yourself in front of all your friends because he's coming to your
school. I'll bust him, don't worry.
Okay. Just want you to know. Your social life is over.
Put him on hold, Anderson. Deal is, smell equals infection, and deal with it accordingly. Deal with it as though you'd heard it. Adam and I say, you know, we have a sort of a routine we're recommending to people, which is say, you heard people talking about it on Loveline. Drew was saying that this means there's an infection. Let's get you to the doctor and see what's going on here, because there are creams and oral antibiotics that very easily treat this. It's something you probably need to be treated for, too, because you can pass it back and forth, but you don't just let it go. It shouldn't normally smell bad. It means it's a bacterial overgrowth and needs to be treated.
I'm going to do a better job explaining that. First off, Ian's going to screw that up. Ian's going to go, I heard me talking about it on Love. Oh, dude, wait a minute. But, yeah, you say you heard someone talking about it, and you're concerned.
Yeah.
It's like the doctor said it was an infection, and I noticed maybe, and I'm worried about you, so we should go get this checked out. And then all of a sudden you
false
care about her.
Works every time.
Yeah, and you're a saint. It's not just a smelly. Why don't you take yourself down to the coin-op car wash, give yourself a nice blowing
here's two
out.
Passes to the free clinic. Go get it checked out.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
All right, so should we take a little break here?
We'll be right back.
Yes.
Josh Jackson is here. He directed us in Dawson's Creek all this week and was a delight. And, of course, has been in it all six damn seasons.
And junior producer Lauren is his biggest fan. Do you know that?
Yeah.
She loves Josh.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Josh and Tori Amos. Yeah.
They're here.
We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Josh Jackson is our guest tonight from Dawson's Creek. Josh also put on his directing hat, I guess his beret, and did his first stint as a director behind the camera this week, working with me and Drew and the rest of the cast. And total pro, would have had no idea that this was his first time directing.
Just listen to the way he says action.
Yes, very enthusiastic action. I like it. And a
big cut, too.
And a big cut. Yeah. You know when to stop and start. Now, my only knock against the kid is not telling everyone what they're doing before he yells action.
No. It's just you and me.
No, just, yeah. Here's how they work. Yeah, I'm in my trailer. I'm napping. Somebody knocks on my trailer door and says, they need you on set. I get up. I'm a little dazed.
Begin yelling
at whoever it is that's threatening them that this better be it. Walk on to set, sit down.
Then yell at me.
And then I yell at Drew. And then I hear Josh yell, and action! then I start waiting around to see if something cues me into something familiar, hoping that I don't have the first thing to say. And then I say to Drew, what are we doing? And he says, I don't know.
No, I go, sir, I think it's page 35.
Right. Yes, and then I start yelling, oh, 35A or 35B or 35C.
I threw the 35 apple at you today to see if you're okay.
Oh, so...
we go by scene numbers. It's a different world.
Oh. But I was a total pro. I pride myself on that.
It was much appreciated.
I carry myself with a certain degree of dignity, and I think Josh saw that coming through.
Of course.
I knew all of all my lines.
Well, I have a question. How did you get assigned to this show, and how did we get involved with all this? How did that happen?
That's total luck of the draw.
It just happened to be this show.
Yeah. They in the off-season last year, they told me that I could have, well, I asked, and they said that I could have a directing slot. And then it just fell out that I was on 19, and 19 became your show, so total happens.
And who thought of putting us in the show?
I have no idea.
It was the writers, did
they?
The writers that I was yelling about?
They don't talk to me very much, so I don't know. I don't know what the genesis of it was. But you're here, and I'm glad you're here. I hope you guys have been having fun, because I've been having a ball.
Yeah. Oh, no, sure.
Yeah.
But you know what people do, especially around here? And I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. But, you know, people around here always go, you having fun all the time. And it's like I'm on day number five of sub-5-hour sleep. You having fun? And I'm always like, I don't know why. And maybe this is wrong. I should just go, yeah, I'm having a ball. But I always go, no, I'm not having fun. But I'm not having a bad time. You know, but there's somewhere in between.
You're at the median level.
Like, for work, like, I used to have to really work for a living, and that sucked. Swinging a hammer, it sucked. So that sucked. This doesn't suck.
Yeah, well, let's just say it doesn't suck.
But let's not call it fun. I mean, anytime you got to be somewhere, you know, anytime someone rousts you out of bed,
Adam
it's not,
hates
it's not
work.
Fun.
Hates it.
I'm picking up on that.
Oh, my God.
So,
but I'm a pro.
We did have a little bet going about yesterday when you came back. When we came back from lunch, you all of a sudden you were just like word for word on the dialogue. And
well, that was contempt.
No, I think it was nap. We had just woken you up, wasn't it?
Right.
This was my bet. I think
oh,
I
yes,
won.
Oh, yes. I took a nice nap
over
during
lunch. Yeah, okay, great. So
yeah.
I just won. Excellent.
It's interesting. Adam, sidebar.
That's 150 bucks.
They talk yes about us without us really knowing.
Sure.
They just talk constantly.
Let's save the baby!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well,
it's like high school. Yeah.
I just took a nap and I was so glazed over I couldn't figure out anything, so I just decided to read the script. So I went,
which,
you know,
yeah, it was probably a helpful thing. But you got to understand too, we've been doing this for 6 years, so we'll bet on anything now. This is sheer boredom.
Oh, yeah, like being in prison. All right, let's talk to
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Hello.
You're 17. What's up?
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually on the air. I had a question for Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Fire away.
Well, first of all, hi, Adam, Drew, Joshua.
Hello.
Hi.
I was actually wondering if it was true if you're coming back to live in California once you're finally through with Dawson's Creek.
Well, I will probably be spending some time in California, yes, just because my
he likes to work.
Yeah, exactly, because employment is good. But Vancouver is my home.
Do you have an apartment or anything, or someplace you live in Los Angeles?
There is, I'm moving back into my childhood home. For a certain portion of my life, when my parents were married, I lived not in L.A., about a 45-minute drive outside of L.A.
That's still L.A.
And
where?
Yeah,
where?
Exactly. In Topanga Canyon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and last year I went back and struck up a conversation with the man who bought the house from my father 16 years ago, and he offered to sell it to me.
Wow.
And I bought the house back. So I'm in the process of moving back into that place, but it's a little strange for me to say that I'm moving back to L.A. instead of moving back to Vancouver, because I still consider Vancouver home.
Okay.
My sister lives in Topanga Canyon. Topanga Canyon is as far away,
yeah,
not necessarily geographically, but sort of spiritually from, yeah, L.A. as you're gonna find.
And still be L.A., though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still L.A.
You're still, technically you're still in L.A., but if you've spent any time in Topanga, you really feel like you're in a different world.
I have. All right, so there's your
so
answer,
yes and no.
Jennifer.
Hey, man, right. I should be a politician. Yes and no.
Liz, 21.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to say you guys are all really great. I really like you guys.
Thanks.
But I was calling because I'm 21 and I've only slept with one person.
What happened?
Oh, that's the Zephyr going down.
You there, Liz?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hey, sorry about that.
Sorry. Yeah, I've only slept with one person, but every time I sleep, we're not together anymore, but every time I slept with him, I would start, like, during the middle of it, like, crying uncontrollably, bawling.
Uh-oh.
I felt dirty, like,
uh-oh,
disgusting.
You want to tell us anything about your history?
No, I swear to God, unless there's, like, some unknown mole.
When did your dad rape you?
No, I swear. Oh. I think it might be, like, my church upbringing, or I wasn't, well, like...
Are you Catholic?
No. I was, like, Christian, but I was raised really religiously.
All right, and you were indoctrinated about sex being bad and stuff?
Yeah, but is there a way I could have been molested without knowing it?
Yeah, that happens, but there are other ways to develop guilt other than the severe abuse. It could be. The old-fashioned way was the sort of...
Yeah.
The charming way
worked
was...
for the Irish for thousands.
That's right.
Yeah, back before priests molested, they used to...
They just shamed and guilted.
Eventually, that fell by the wayside, and the newer tactics took in, which was actual hands-on shame. But
it's like the new math. You know,
but back in the day, that's how it used to work. So that's it. Are you still very religious?
No, not really. But I haven't been. I'm like, we're not together anymore. But I haven't been with anybody since. But I'm.
How was that?
Great.
How was that relationship?
We're kind of like friends.
No. How was it when you were having sex?
Oh, it was really good. We didn't sleep together until like. We waited like 2 years and we were together for 3.
But you were really into him that whole time.
Yeah, like I really loved him and I felt so bad that I like would cry. Like he would.
Why'd you break up?
Distance. We just needed
physical
to grow
distance.
Up a little bit. We needed to grow up.
Wait, like, physical distance?
She
like
dumped
he,
him.
Yeah, I was about to say.
No. He actually dumped me, but yeah.
He dumped you, huh?
Yeah, wait. He needed his space. He needed to grow up and have his playtime. So.
Wait. Is he older than you are?
No, he's 21, too.
Hmm.
And is he also very religious?
No. But we were together since we were, like, 17, so he needed to, like, not be married to me, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I understand that.
All right, Liz, you sound okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. This will work itself.
Sound like a happy, healthy 22.
But if it happens again, like, I'm really afraid it's going to happen again.
Well,
doesn't freak guys out too greatly.
Yeah, in fact, somebody's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, put some curtains up on your windows and call it the Jesus Proof Room.
But look, yeah, just yeah, get a boyfriend.
Foil will also reflect Jesus.
Jesus, there
yeah,
we go.
Spirit cannot penetrate foil. Lead and foil.
And duct tape. But get in a relationship where you can feel like you can really be open and talk with somebody. So if you start having these feelings, you can really kind of explore them with them. Feel
I
safe.
Found what Jesus does is when he sees the foil, he's he sees his own reflection, but with the wrinkles in it, he thinks he's older. And then he gets angry. Like, you ever see, like, when a dog sees itself in the mirror or a cat, you know, they get territorial.
Hair goes up.
Yeah, so the Jesus starts,
gets his hackles
starts
up.
Duking it out with his own reflection. Meanwhile, you're humping away. Yeah.
Mia.
Sometimes.
Mia?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say hi to Josh.
Hey, Mia, how are you?
Hi, I am, like, so in love with you.
You're fat.
Please.
I've liked you since, like, Dawson's Creek came out, like, way before that. Like, I have every movie that you've been in, even though, like, it's just, like, little parts, like, Ocean's 11, like, that part where you're in the poker game, I love that part. Like, I just rewind it over and over. I just, like...
Thank you.
Great acting and everything. Done the same. I really like you a lot.
How many of those Mighty Ducks were you in?
Huh?
All three of them.
All three?
Yeah.
I was asking Drew about that on the way in. Like Drew knows. Drew, was he in two of those or one or was he in all three? Drew's like, I don't know.
No, it's like Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, buddy.
Come on.
Oh, man, I know.
He's an old man. He's not hip.
Where's the love?
No.
It's because your boy plays baseball. It's not a hockey player.
That's right.
All right, so Mia, you got a question?
Oh, yeah. Is your favorite band still Nirvana?
Whatever.
That's hard to say. Well, you know, he's been dead for.
What do you listen to now?
On the way in, I had Talib Kweli in the stereo. So if that helps, I'm glad I could be of service.
Thank you. No problem.
Kimmel show last.
But I do think, you know, what, just as a general note, I do think that the radio has totally forgotten Nirvana. It's very important music too. My generation, I guess.
It depends where you're hanging, because if you're in L.A., you'll probably hear more of it than North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably the truth.
I would imagine, because they're like, we're not going to play none of them Smashing Dumplings or Nervosa out here, all right? Not while the Oak Ridge Boys are still alive.
Zane, 14.
Zane. A lot of love for Wilmington over here.
Zane.
I get rid of Zane.
Zane's from North Carolina. He was so offended, he hung up.
No, he's from Florida. He's so stupid, he didn't know he was on the line.
Jennifer, 21.
Hi. Okay. I have a question and a comment.
All right.
Okay, my sister, she just told me that she's pregnant, and she's 22.
Boy. Oh, boy.
And she told me how she got pregnant. It's kind of hard to believe. I wasn't sure if it was even possible.
Okay.
She said that she was, like, intimate with her boyfriend, and I guess she was giving him a BJ, and there was a plastic bag underneath the bed, and she spit it in the bag and then injected it in her, like, 2 days later when she went back there. Is that possible?
Oh my God.
2 days later.
Well, let's just think this through for a second. What's in it for her to make up a bizarre story like that? I mean, you know what I mean?
Is she trying to tell you that she wasn't actually having sex with her boyfriend?
Yeah, but even if she were, you should ever, like, put away for that. Like, why would she tell that story unless that were the real story? Unless, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this
if she were bizarre enough to tell, it's more bizarre to tell a story as a lie than even to do it.
Yeah.
Well, she's,
yeah.
like, faked pregnancies and stuff like that before.
She has.
Oh! My God, it was nuclear attack. That's it. The war has started, everybody. We're all in deep
trouble. We had a little static jump in there.
Wow. You still there?
Well, I'm awake now.
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. No one else heard that except, yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, it's just us? Oh.
It was horrible.
Oops.
All right. This happens all the time.
All right, so Jennifer.
Yes.
Your sister's faked pregnancies more than once.
So she's obviously got some pretty heavy emotional issues going on and would be, you know, desperate to sort of seem pregnant. It makes sense that she also would become desperate to be pregnant. And, yeah, sperm, as long as it's... Yeah, sperm can last 2 days.
This guy runs a pretty tight ship. He's got a hefty bag full of jizz under his bed that... I turn it over about every 2 weeks. Like, really?
Well, it's for that skin test. How are we talking about?
Shut up. I mean, listen, I'm a slob. I mean, I want some mop off of the sock once in a while and kick it into the closet. I don't have a bag full of jizz under my bed. Holy Christ. Hey, who is this guy?
Yeah, really, that's what I want to know. Who's the guy?
Some guy.
Whoa, Missy. Into the bag. You know the rules. I got stuff in there from high school. Now let's go.
This is brand new carpet. That's...
Some people collect cars. Other people collect trading cards. I collect semen. Now get it in there.
Okay. Individually marked back to 94.
Yeah, waste not, want not. That's what I say.
I also have a comment for Dr. Drew.
Wait a minute. I want to know about this guy.
Okay.
Is she in love with this guy?
She says she is, but they've only been together for like 4 months.
3 weeks.
Why do you seem to have some disdain for your sister. You're not a big fan of hers?
We're very different people.
All right. Yeah, well,
here's
the thing.
Different than just about everybody, though.
She may be hell-bent on ruining her life that obviously doesn't mean you have to do the same, right?
Right.
Yeah. You do what I do with my family. Use them as a template, a negative template. You just do the opposite. You think, what would Dad do? And then you just do the opposite, and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
All right. Right.
And that's what Adam does with his family.
And at the same time, don't feel the need to engage her and debunk her story. Like, if she's going to ruin her life, don't even bother getting involved in did this happen this way or did it happen that way. It's her problem, not yours.
Who's daddy? Your daddy's the man from GLAAD. He was a proud man who flew around in a flying trash can in the 70s and helped people with their refuse problems. He passed away when he was hit by a Learjet. Didn't have clearance. All right. I don't even know what... I don't.
We're breaking.
All right, we'll take a break. Got Josh Jackson here from Dawson's Creek. We'll be right back. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Josh Jackson in here tonight from Dawson's Creek. And Josh was the director of our episode that we did this week. Drew has a very intense love scene tomorrow that
very
be
intense.
There for. So,
only for the European version.
He's got a big day. He told me he's a little bit nervous about doing a solo stuff. He uses me as sort of a crutch and a huggy blanket when I'm out there. But he's going to be flying solo tomorrow. We wish him the best. And the ladies laid down the gauntlet here the other night.
Yeah, they did.
You're going to have to rise up to that challenge.
Yeah, let's see what I can do. Josh is my huggy blanket tomorrow. Aaron, 21.
Yeah, I got
it. Aaron?
Yes. How you doing?
21, what's up?
Well, I got a question. My girlfriend has taken the morning after pill, about 10-plus times, and we heard a rumor that... the woman might become sterile after that much use of morning after.
Absolutely not. There has, of the many, many, many millions of prescriptions for the morning after pill, there's never been a single adverse effect recorded from that product. Now, the problem is, it's not appropriate contraception. It's an emergency measure. So
right.
If somebody's using it more than once or twice in a lifetime, it's because they're not practicing appropriate contraception that she needs to sit down with a doctor and plan something out prospectively going forward so she's not stuck.
Now we're on birth control. We're on Evrapat.
All right, well, there you go.
Can you build up an immunity to it?
No.
No.
It works
every time.
It says 75% basically for those 3 days after you have sex.
We're on birth control. Okay. Like, do they have like a sympathetic placebo pack for you to take to? Honey, it's time for us to take our
pill. She used them all 10 times with you?
Oh, no, just in the past.
Oh, just in over her lifetime.
Yeah.
So
just use a condom.
You guys are on the pill, so you guys don't get pregnant, right?
Right.
It's weird things that happen to the guy, too, when the girl gets pregnant. Well, we're having a baby.
Yeah.
I always think that's kind of it'd be demoralizing for me if I was the woman. Because,
I hope these guys are together long enough for them to both enter menopause.
Yeah. Menopause.
That's what I hope for this.
Jim, 34.
We're entering menopause now. We're having hot flashes. We're both on progesterone.
Yeah,
hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you?
We're good.
Good.
Love your show, man. Hey, watch a lot of adult movies, a lot of pornos, and my lady, she seems to think that's a form of cheating. She's asked me to quit. I like them. I feel that everything I've learned about sex has come from watching these movies.
Forget about sex. What about life? the lessons I've learned from Love Boat and Taboo 2.
Oh, this Taboo.
Will be with me my whole life.
Oh, for Josh, you're going to sing? This is from Taboo 2, a vintage farm porno film.
When they were actually still shot on film. Oh, the good old days.
And they have theme songs like
that. A great man who was having sex with not only his sister, but his mom. Than you'd ever imagine, and do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. That's such a bad sign. You're sitting down to write a song, and you have, oh, yes, he does, in there. That's probably not a good sign. Well, maybe you did, but you don't. That's where I make my move, too. Both hands fly out to the side, the feet snap wide. Yeah. All right. That's enough.
Oh, come on. The big finish.
And when he does, he satisfies me. If you only knew just what he could do, you'd want him to. If you only knew. Anderson always thinks he's smart by dropping it off at the end, so I sit there looking like an idiot. Yeah, that's Taboo too. So, like, again, many an important life lesson have I learned from these movies.
About young males banging their sister and their mom.
Learned that was important.
Yeah. Okay.
And I shifted some priorities in my life, I got to admit, after seeing it. Much to my sister and mom's dismay, but what are you going to do?
Jim.
The family that lays together stays together.
Jim.
That's right.
Have you ever called the show before?
No, this is my first time.
Yes, a familiar voice. All right. And so,
it sounds bogus.
It does to me, too.
No,
yeah.
It's not bogus. It's not bogus, Adam.
So what is the question?
She says that variety is the spice of life, and that's why men cheat. And she feels that I watch these movies because I'm not satisfied with her, but I am.
Men need, yes, they need sort of a visual variety. Men are biologically set up for diversity. That's just the way we're wired. And if you can be okay with just watching the films, that's fine. You're not cheating. And it doesn't mean you're not. This is what women can't get. They don't understand how you can be satisfied and also have a wandering eye.
Right.
How does that work? It's like they can't believe it.
I do have a wandering eye. I mean, I look all the time, you know. And sometimes fantasize every now and then, but. I don't see, you know, if I'm not eating out, you know, if I'm at home, what's the problem?
Yeah. Oh, I see. So he's talking about something else. Yeah. All right. Listen, Jim, here's the thing. I find that when you sort of backpedal and apologize, women end up getting more momentum and they spin out a little bit.
You need to sort of defensive, they start to think something's actually.
You got to be a little stern. Like, you got to be like, you got to give them like sort of a, oh, please grow up. You know, this is nothing. And they move on, usually. But if you start hiding it, then they start finding it. It sort of becomes a game.
There you go. There's Jill, 21. Jill?
Hey, what's up? Hi, Josh. Hi, guys.
Hey, Jill. How are you?
I'm, like, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, because, like, my boyfriend, he's 24, and I'm 21, and I'm his first in sexually.
Uh-oh.
And the problem is I get frustrated. Like, I can't get attracted to him anyway, like, sexually, because, like, I hope he's not listening, though, but...
I was about to say, is he in the room?
No, he's at work, but sometimes he listens to the station. I hope he's not listening.
Well, why aren't you attracted to him?
Because he has a small penis. Right. And it's different from my average partners I've had in the past. And not only that, we've been together for almost 2 years. And he lost his virginity with me. And it's kind of difficult because he don't know anything, and I'm kind of teaching him.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if him and his other buddies are all huddled around the radio at work about now, huh?
No, because, like, I know it sounds funny, but, like, because I'm a freak in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get, like, kind of freaky and getting rough and all that stuff if he doesn't know how to do anything.
Yeah, you've been doing this for 2 years.
No, we just started having sex just this year, like, couple.
And you've been with the guy for how long?
Almost 2 years.
So you're a layaway freak.
Yeah, I mean, you're freaky. How come you were not sexually active with him for over a year and a half?
Well, because I got tired of dating guys that... I wanted a serious relationship now because...
Yeah, yeah. And why didn't you have sex with him sometime in the first year and three quarters you were with him, if you're so freaky?
Well, because he respected me, and I've never felt respected.
Yeah, here's what this is.
I don't know. Respected
me. No. Here's the deal. She had some kind of trauma, and the sexual part of her is sort of the bad part. And so she hooks that up with bad guys. And now that she's found a good guy, she can't be sexual with him. Now she can't be sexual with him. She's decided she's kind of disgusted with him because he's so non-sexual.
He's probably a bit of a mouse of a guy.
Yeah, he's non-sexual. It's like too much. You can't be intimate then.
All right, Jill, did you have any abuse, any trauma?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No bad experiences with prior boyfriends.
Well, whatever it is, you've.
No, because my past, I always from what I've thought, all guys were experienced, but I guess I was wrong from what I've learned. And, hello?
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. We had some technical difficulties, and if you hear a scream every once in a while, it's because we're getting this very sharp sound in our headphones.
Piercing.
It's piercing. It's just what the doctor ordered at 2 a.m. here in North Carolina. But it's interesting, though, I was thinking about as I was urinating and smelling the asparagus I ate earlier this evening, And I don't know, but Drew, you always talk about the sympathetic stuff and the nerves and everything.
Yeah.
Josh about jumped out of his seat and crapped himself.
Yeah.
Drew had a mild reaction. I had almost no reaction.
Zero.
To it. Now
Adam does not have an engine that runs.
Right.
Yeah, when Josh leaps across the stage and screams action.
Right, that's what that is.
That's what that is. Adam can barely lift his head up.
Well, I have a big brain, and there's a lot of fluid in there, and it is pretty heavy, and a pencil neck, things are conspiring against me.
But that was a great example of that, yeah.
Well, and I was thinking it's a way to sort of, it's a way if you were trying to test where someone was sort of at with your sympathetic versus whatever.
Parasympathetic
stuff you always talk to me about, don't talk about on the air that much. It's just a sort of good, simple test.
Yeah.
Hit them with a piercing noise to the eardrum.
Yeah. All right. So when we left off, phone number, by the way, 1-800-LOVE-191, and Josh Jackson is here from Dawson's Creek, and he was directing us, doing his first stint behind the camera all week, and I was surprised. I mean, I thought you were
going to say you were a genius.
I had no idea. I was a genius.
That goes without saying at this point.
But I was surprised. I really was.
Yeah.
If you told me that he had not directed before, if I hadn't heard it from his mouth, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
Now, to be perfectly honest, when you saw on the call, or you might not even know, but when you saw on the call sheet that one of the actors were directing, did it make you a little nervous?
No, I didn't even put it together until the second day. I was in there. I was so tired. And the call sheet and the script to me just looked like one of those eye charts at the ophthalmologist. It didn't make me nervous.
I thought more in terms. I thought someone would be there holding his hand. Someone would be sort of.
There'll be some guy with a bad accent, a bad mustache, sort of standing behind and pulling Josh aside every once in a while, breaking into his native Canadian tongue. You guys speak. Oh no! Wait a minute. It's English over there. That's right. All right. When we left off, we're speaking to Jill, who's 21. She's got some serious problems with her boyfriend, Jill.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what we think you're doing is sort of finding a reason to take issue with his sexuality. You're sort of demeaning it because you don't feel very comfortable being open and sexual with somebody that you actually do feel close to. You do have respect for. It's like that part of yourself that is freaky, you sort of disavow and put aside and save that for guys that you don't really like.
Yeah.
No, you love this guy?
Yeah, I do. We're thinking of getting engaged.
Oh,
but,
boy.
The problem is I want to take it slow. I don't want to rush anything yet because...
There's no cookies in my box.
And what happened is I just, the only problem I have is, like, I don't, like, the size don't matter if he knows how to work it, but how, like, how long do I have to wait, or how much do I have to teach him or show him the way?
Everything, because he doesn't know anything or else never been with anybody else.
Yeah.
But again, the problem you're having is exposing that part of yourself to him, not just teaching him.
Is this because I'm used to... Like I said, I'm used to them knowing.
She's not getting that.
Yeah, this is going to be... Look, yeah. All right, let's see. I'm going on damage control here. Right. Don't get pregnant.
Right.
No, I'm not. I'm very... No. Oh,
and don't get married.
Are you on birth control?
Yeah, we're using birth control.
What are you using?
Condoms for now, but I'm going to go on the pill later on.
Get on the pills soon. As soon
right
as you
now.
Can.
I can't because I had a... They found a cyst in my pelvic, and they just removed it. Like, just, like, recently, like 2 weeks ago. So we're not actually having intercourse right now because I can't.
All right. Okay. But, do not get pregnant. Take it slow. And if you want to read a book or get a little therapy, that's probably not going to hurt.
Yeah.
And how can... Did anyone sound less like a Jill, by the way, than Jill?
There's no really? Cookies in my box.
All right. Who was that? Leah Ram... No. No, that's...
The voice of...
That's the Bobby voice Hill. Of somebody.
Bobby Hill, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amanda, 23.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, my question is, during sex, after, like, I've had one or two orgasms, I stop breathing a little bit.
A little bit.
Stop breathing a little bit?
Well, like, we have to totally stop because my partner, he knows that I'm not breathing, and so we stop so that I can catch my breath.
You should give this guy a medal.
You're hyperventilating, right?
I have no idea.
What, are you going to pass out?
I don't know. It's very weird, and I'm worried because I don't want something like to just stop breathing and then die.
It's not going to happen. Gone for a run?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Amanda. I don't know quite what you're describing, but your system doesn't work that way.
Okay.
It's not like you're going to completely stop. No, no way.
Yeah.
Plus, is it such a bad thing to hold off for a second, let you catch your breath, and then carry Sally forth?
Keep going.
And what about this poor soul having to flip her over, do the anal, and then call 911? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility for a man. And under duress.
Yeah, you know,
you only got 4 or 5 minutes before the brain starts closing down and retardation sets in.
I think women everywhere are not feeling a lot of sympathy for a girl who's like, after I've had an orgasm or two during sex.
Yeah.
Why
don't, now that you're sort of conscious of it, can you be cognizant of it and just sort of...
Watch
sort
your
of,
breathing?
Yeah.
Well, I try. Like, I try to, like, once that I feel that it's gonna get near stopping, like, I try to mentally just slow it down and breathe deeply, but it just really doesn't work.
All right, but this is just you. I don't. Who she have to see? Does anybody to see?
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a 3x5 card that says "Breathe, bitch," and put on the ceiling. You can stare at it. It's a little reminder. Yeah, I don't know. Right. We're not calling this a problem, are we, Jerome?
I don't know what she's describing. Sarah, 24.
Hi. I walked in the other night and I found my roommate sleeping with our mutual friend's 16-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
Oh. How old's your roommate?
My roommate's 20.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
And she's had a crush on him for a couple of years.
Wait a minute. Say it again.
She's had a crush on him for a couple of years. Like since.
Yeah, how old is he?
He's 20.
He's 20. She's 16.
Mutual friend's daughter?
Yeah, like I'm 24. Our friends are about 34, 35. And it's like kind of one big group. But they just recently moved out of state, and it's the... father's daughter from a previous relationship.
16 to 20.
And so I don't, I mean, like, he regrets it, but now she's calling all the time. She's stopping by. She stops by his work. And I don't know where my responsibilities lie. Do I, you know, do I have any responsibility to either tell my friends, to talk to the girl?
Talk to the girl.
Okay.
Talk to the girl, for sure. Talk to him about what it means to a 16-year-old girl to sleep with a 20-year-old.
Smack him in the head.
Yeah. And then the question, though, is do you have any, because this is illegal, do you have any sort of ethical responsibility?
No.
It's not as though you're going to be able to sort of catch him at it. Maybe right. threaten him with it so he cuts it out.
Well, he regretted it.
And that's the thing. Like he feels bad about it.
Now that he's had what he needed.
Yeah, exactly. 20/20 hindsight. I don't know. I'm going to go for all the big brothers out here and say that's unacceptable behavior, and that's the type of stuff that gets you taken out behind the woodshed.
Yes.
Yeah, but you don't think he has any plans of doing it again, do you?
Oops, sorry. You can put on hold. Go ahead, Sarah.
You think he's going to do it again?
No, I don't. And he didn't have any plans to do it in the first place, but, you know, it's still kind of there. And it's still, you know, between them and...
Here's my advice. Mm-hmm. I would stay out of it. He will deal with it, which is he'll not do anything with her. Is he a decent guy? I just put it on hold. Forget it. Look, that stupid piercing sound in our ears that says screwed everyone.
Give him one. Give him one pass, but don't let him go back. Like
I think, talk to him and the girl.
Yeah. No. I think that he is not a bad guy. I think that he says I'm not doing it again. He doesn't want to do it again, and he's not.
But in the meantime, this girl is in love with this guy, and she's been harmed by this, and
he needs to tell her in no uncertain terms that this is not a relationship that's not going to happen again, and I made a mistake. She doesn't need to get in between the whole thing. Why does she need to get in between everything?
Because they have a mutual friend they're trying to protect.
Well, the mutual friend means it's her friend. He's not doing this anymore. Mm. I mean,
he did the damage. He did the damage.
A horrible attorney.
Point is, he did the damage.
I go with did the damage. I'm sorry.
I know he did the damage, and now he has to take responsibility for it.
And part of that is being supportive and having a relationship with this girl and sort of getting her through this, which may take quite a bit of time.
Him or her?
Him.
Him. He should have no contact with her. He's going to screw her up if he sees her and she's got a wild crush on him. That's going to go on forever.
I don't know.
It's a bad situation.
Well, listen.
This guy messed up big.
Well, wait a second. This stuff happens all the time, unfortunately. 16 and 20 is not, you know, 14 and 28. It's a good gap in there, but it's not even necessarily legal in many of the states that our show is on. He needs to not let her continue this fantasy.
Absolutely.
He needs to, you know, apologize, tell her she's a great kid, tell her that he made a mistake, and tell her that there's nothing wrong with her, but this relationship would be wrong, and not lead her on in any way, not sort of have a lot of conversations with her that's going to get her hopes up. And you know how people are. Every time she hears from him, she's going to get her fantasy going.
Man.
This girl needs to just sort of, you know, step out of the way.
Maybe support the other girl.
Yeah, well, if she starts threatening suicide or something, but
I think also this girl needs to get in his face a little bit, because if he has another moment of weakness, then
yes, I think I agree. She needs to say to him, I'll give you a pass. I know about this one, but if you do anything other than support her and keep your hands off her, then I'm going
to
start flapping my jaw.
Level.
There you go,
Jennifer, 32.
All right.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
We all agree she's not going to do any of it.
Hey, Jennifer, what's up?
Thanks.
Well, I had a panic attack for the first time ever last summer, and it was brought about after it wasn't triggered by anything specifically that I could tell. I had been smoking a lot of marijuana that evening.
Yeah,
and
that's actually rather common, that pot can trigger panic attacks. I actually treated a famous guy in the entertainment business who smoked pot 6 times. And has had disabling panic attacks ever since. I mean, disabling.
Jesus Christ in heaven!
No, it wasn't.
Where
has
this been?
But it's almost as though pot can open up the circuits of panic. And usually it's when people have been smoking for a long period of time, they start getting depressed and panic. But sometimes it's people that just have a few exposures, and then pow, this panic attack circuitry is somehow opened by the marijuana. Marijuana is a neuromodulator, and it opens up circuits in certain parts of the brain, like the amygdala. And, you can have lifelong changes as a result.
I have been a marijuana smoker for probably about 10 years, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, so you're the more typical case. Is that eventually people, this is why people come to treatment for marijuana addiction, is because the pot stops working, they start getting panic, they start getting forgetful, they start having depression, and yet they keep smoking pot, and the symptoms get worse the longer they smoke. And marijuana is a severe addiction. It's not something you can just put it down.
That's true. I'm having a very hard time, actually.
Yeah, so it needs to be treated. It needs to be treated.
Yeah. Well, but when was the last time you smoked pot?
This afternoon. A few hours ago.
Yeah.
So. All right, so I think you got this licked. It's been, what, 120 minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
Marijuana addiction always occurs the same way. It's somebody, you smoke it, it's usually the family history of alcoholism, smoke it a couple times, no big deal, and around the third time it's like, oh my God, holy S, this is the greatest stuff. And then that's all you can think about from then after. You smoke it most days for somewhere between 1 and 30 years. And then somewhere in there, exactly what's happening to you happens, and that's when you got to get treatment.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, so see about some treatment.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, but good times, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's been good times.
Nothing worse than a stoned panic attack.
They're common, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I stick with the booze.
Yeah, you kind of...
That's my mistress.
Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah, I never smoke weed anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
I don't think I can handle it. I mean, I could definitely get high. Yeah, I mean, I ate a pot brownie, like, Jimmy and I flew out to Jamaica like a year ago or something, and oh my god!
When you went to Jamaica, how weird!
I know, yeah. so odd. So
yeah,
you have a thing for pot brownies, don't you?
You like, to smoke them.
Yeah,
smoke pot brownies. I might get my calories and my weed and do it all through smoke vapors.
Zane, 14.
Didn't we have Zane earlier?
We tried for Zane, right. And he's now a goner. Tina, 25.
Hello?
Hi, Tina.
No,
I guess we got Maureen. Maureen, I beg your pardon. What's up, Maureen?
My question was, during sex, actually, when I'm climaxing, I can't handle it, actually. I have to stop.
Yeah. That's like, something
I get a lot of this.
Yeah. She's from Canada, Josh.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you from?
Windsor, Ontario.
Ontario.
Yes.
Oh, it's cold where you are right now.
Yes, it is.
Well, think about a flower.
You should listen to the show last night. We had the girls here, or they had the girls here.
Yeah.
They could have helped you right through this problem.
Visualize the flower opening up, and you're going to have an orgasm.
Oh, my God. Can I get a copy of that? Because that is just going to ruin Busy's life forever and ever and ever.
Maureen.
Yes.
Sorry. Back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, you've been close. What about when you're alone? Can you do this alone?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Once I get there,
say the word
it's
no.
Like I can't get through it, kind of. Like,
right.
My best friend will tell me that she'll have like a couple or whatever, and I can't get through one.
At 19, it's not uncommon at all. Because your biology hasn't gotten to the point where this is likely to happen. It is literally a biological change you have to go through. It's why women under the age of 22 commonly don't have orgasm. It's too intense, or it doesn't work right, or they can't get to that place.
Exactly. It's so intense.
And you will. But realize that it won't be...
Though, you know?
I'm sure it is, and it won't be during intercourse, okay?
Oh.
It will not be.
Disappointing.
Well, Drew, why plant that seed?
Because it won't be. That's a fact. It'll be with oral sex.
But why not pollinate her flower instead of planting that negative seed?
A bee with a long proboscis will have to come by and make things happen.
All right. So
but the good news is that it will happen, that nothing's really wrong.
That's right. It's a normal time.
It will happen, and ironically, the best way to speed this up is not to compete
relax
with your friend and not to try to crap it out of yourself.
And, hey, how old's your friend? The girl you're talking about? Best friend?
Oh, same age. 19.
Okay, so she's probably BSing you anyhow.
You think so? Yeah. I know. I'm like, my other friend, she's 23, and she can't have any at all.
Yeah, so there you go. So you're right on track.
Use her as a model.
Okay.
Because you'll need something to keep you warm in Windsor.
Yeah. All right, Maureen.
Thank you very much.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when to get, you know, we should put together a list of, like, everything in life, everyone tells you, go out and get. If you want something, you gotta hustle, and there's no goal that you can set too high, but you got to work hard. But there's a couple of things you got to sort of let go of.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those hustling kind of people, it's hard to excel at the things you got to let go of. And this is one of the things, especially for women, they got to just let go of.
Tina, 25.
Hi. I have a question. I've been married for, like, almost 4 years now. And pretty much like 6 months after I got married, I always like sort of have to have a crush on another guy.
Uh-oh.
And, like, no, I totally love, I'm totally, like, in love with my husband. He's the best man. Like, sexually, it's maybe not so good. And, like, I've never done it.
Oh, boy.
No.
Quite
a resounding
endorsement.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
he's a great best friend.
Right.
Yeah. He's awesome. Ooh. Awesome best friend. And, like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. And what's wrong with him sexually?
Maybe his libido is not as big as, like, as, you know, he doesn't want it as much as, like, as often as I do.
How often do you want it?
Now. Like, at least twice a week would be nice.
How about him? Twice a week is kind of normal. What's he up to?
We're probably up to, like, once every 2 weeks.
Oof.
And he's,
but, I mean,
he's
we're
a young...
Both, we both work, so we're really busy all the time, so it's hard to, like...
How old is he?
He's 29.
29. You should still twice every other week.
Drew was
you're fat.
Drew was the white tornado, and that white was not his cleaning ability, but it was just a tornado of a water spout of semen. At 29, it would take anything in his path. It's devastated. He'd blow through a city.
Hose him down, Drew.
Cows flying in the air. Barn houses. It was like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that's not a good thing. Now,
I'm work schedule is no excuse because you find time.
Right. Now, but I'm wondering what he would say. I mean, how do you think he feels about you? Do you think he senses this sort of, I don't know, sort of apathy toward him, or the fact that you're fantasizing about other guys?
I don't know if he likes that. Like, when we're just like hanging out and stuff, we'll like cuddle and like he'll, you know, we'll like walk around, he'll grab my butt and stuff like that, and then it's like once it gets to like the evening, it's just like good night.
Doesn't feel right.
Yeah, that's not good.
Why'd you get married so young?
Just because I felt like it was like the right person.
Yeah. What's he do for a living?
Huh?
What's he do for a living?
He is in sales.
What do I get the sense she's BSing me?
I don't know. Maybe she doesn't want
to.
He's not in sales, is he?
Oh, you didn't want to. You don't want to.
She didn't want to. She
didn't
want
to tell us.
Give the guy up. Okay. So what does she do? Is this like?
How about this? How'd you meet?
Oh, we met. we met because I was working at the place he was working, and then like
hospital.
We met, and then I wasn't working there anymore.
Well, I was going to say strip joint.
So we were working together first, and then we're like hanging out, and then.
All right. Okay. So what do you do in a situation like this? Is this a couples counseling?
I don't know. My question really is like, does it feel like normal? Because I don't think I would ever like cheat, but I'm constantly like sort of fantasizing about other people. Is that a normal thing in marriages, or
that is not a? I wouldn't put it as normal or abnormal. That may be just something about you. You need that sort of fantasy life going, and that's all right as long as you don't act on it. The problem is the real romance, the real relationship is sort of empty right now. Not only empty, but it's sort of distant too. Like you can't really connect in an important, intimate way physically. And
yeah.
I don't know. 3 years into it, you're already having these kinds of. There's nobody's on medicine. No kids.
No.
Venlafaxine, sertraline, Prevent.
Yeah.
A little inside joke there. Well, Tina, why don't you just talk to him straight up about it?
Yeah.
I mean, you really do. Oh, absolutely. I'm assuming they are talking about it. You guys aren't talking about this?
That's
not
a no.
Really.
No, don't.
I don't know how to bring it up.
Well, like, don't talk about your fantasy part, but talk about the part where you'd like have sex a little more often.
Yeah.
And go ahead. There's nothing wrong with initiating that. Maybe you feel uncomfortable with that. Maybe he needs you to do that.
This might be the answer to your problem. Yeah. You bring it up and he goes, hey, this is what I've been waiting to hear for 3 years.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not never, but
all right.
Could be. That's not. What do you mean could be?
No, it could be. It could be.
Yeah, I was not going to. If he,
unlikely.
If he's a horny guy, he would have made his move. Yeah. All right, so you guys need to talk, a little counseling, all that good crap. Should we take a little break?
Yes, please.
Once every other week.
Josh Jackson is here tonight from Dawson's Creek. We're out here in North Carolina doing Dawson's Creek all week, and we'll be right back after this. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew out here in North Carolina. It's the Dawson Creek Week. Josh Jackson is our guest tonight of Dawson's Creek, and he moved from in front of the camera to behind the camera, actually next to the camera, for his directorial debut this week with us, and we were tickled pink. We had a delightful time with Josh.
And then we went to work.
Total pro. So, mazel tov, as you say in Canada.
Here's Alexis, 17.
Alexis?
Hey.
Also from the Pacific Northwest.
Excellent. Where are you from, Alexis?
Portland, Oregon.
Portland?
Yeah.
Beautiful city. The Bridge City, isn't that what they call Portland?
Hmm, what?
The Bridge City, because all the bridges in and out. Sorry, I'll let that go. Anyway.
Sure, why not? I just wanted to say that I was, like, really obsessed with you in eighth grade. And
with me?
Season three was, like, really awesome. And I watched pretty hardcore with some of my friends. But
I think that's a thank you, but then I'm guessing that
something to follow.
Yeah,
I don't know. I got a life and stopped watching the show, but
I was like, about to say, I knew there was a punchline in here somewhere.
Got a life.
All right. Well, let me thank your 3 years ago self.
Bitch.
No, the show was really awesome. If I still had time, I'd watch it, but you know.
Well, now Josh is creating the show.
Exactly. Oh, and really? It's brilliant.
That's right.
Sweet. I also had a question. good times.
Let me say about Alexis. She said she got a life. It sounds like she grew boobs, really. And now she's in the driver's seat, right? You're a good looking girl.
Bouncy,
Alexis.
Bouncy.
Yes, I'm all right. I have a boyfriend, so you know.
You sound hot. You sound like someone who knows.
They
got a commodity.
Separate the two things out. You're hot, but the boyfriend thing doesn't make you hot.
Right.
Those two things go together. But anyway, that's a pet peeve.
Yeah, so my mom read my journal a few weeks ago, and she lied about it to me, and I confronted her because I found out about it. And I'm not really...
How'd you find out about it?
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Just for my own ego here. You got time to write in a journal but not watch an hour of television every week? Thanks,
well,
Alexis.
You know. She got a life.
Prime time, you know.
So how did you catch her?
Well, I kind of figured she was doing it, so there's like a clasp on it, so I set it up so, like, in a way that I would remember it. So, and then I came back the next day and everything was totally messed up. So, you know, I just figured it out, and then I confronted her, and she was like, "Well,
it's Bond style.
Yeah, but you know, you've been pushing me to do it, and like all this stuff, and so I don't really know what to do."
Well, what was in the journal? Anything incriminating?
Pretty much everything that I've ever done. With my boyfriend, who I've been going out with for like a year and a half, so that's everything.
And what is that impulse?
Dear Diary, not enamored with Josh Jackson anymore.
Got a life.
Got life. No longer watch
His
Dawson's
name is
Creek.
Brian. Right.
My fall from grace has been a hard one. Hey, how open is your relationship with your mom?
Well, not very. Now I guess it's a little bit more open, but only because she forced it to be.
Is your dad not around?
No, he's around all the time. I have a way better relationship with him than my mom.
Huh.
Yeah.
Alexis.
I gotta have some father.
Alexis
too.
Sounds like a little bit of a ball buster.
Yeah. Huh.
Have you been told that before?
Not really, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you now.
She's
other people have been
you,
too
Adam.
Scared to tell you, but
exactly.
She's a little bit of a ball buster because if you think about it, well, first the whole like I got a life thing at the beginning of the call, and then secondly, like I went and confronted mom. Like most people would say, they would get on the defensive,
I'm in the
like
doghouse,
oh Christ, mom read my entry when I went to the prom and whatever. And so you sound like almost like a. You have some anger toward your mom. I mean, not only
aggressive
from this, but just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's accurate?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. This is kind of the thing that really set me off, though. I was just so ridiculously pissed that I had to tell her, because I couldn't really just let her get away with that. But I haven't really had many.
But it had been boiling up before that. This was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, but
right?
that whole line of reasoning, I couldn't let my mother get away with something. That's not typical 17-year-old thinking.
I should send you to my mom's house for a week. We could fix all this.
What was the worst thing that you think she may have read in there?
Definitely, there were like various entries about like sex and stuff, and like drug usage and just basically everything.
And by the way, I don't think any of us are condoning what your mom did. I think your sort of written private expressions to yourself should be kept private. But she's trying to do the parenting job. You have been sort of out of control, it sounds like. She can't seem to set limits with you. You're setting limits with her. Mm-hmm. There's sort of a role reversal of some type going on here.
Well, here's the point. And first off, see, women, they're not smart enough for this stuff. But a guy, if he found out that mom was reading the diary, would have done some damage control.
Helped the old lady across the street today. Yeah. I love my mom.
Found Jesus on the way to school. Exactly. Realized that I had some indiscretions in the past, but that's behind me now that I have the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the third one would say, F you, Mom, in big letters.
But I got the real sense that she kind of wanted Mom to see this stuff. Set it up, booby-trapped it, let it happen, let her read.
Here's the thing. There's some energy between you and Mom. It's sort of a push in the sense that she invaded your privacy. On the other hand, you did some drugs and had some sex. So let's just call this one even. And it sounds like you almost, at this stage, you're 17, you're a senior in high school,
right? I'm a junior, actually.
You're what?
You're a junior. Yeah.
Nah, that's a little different. And you're not planning on going off to college anytime soon, I guess.
Well, I mean, in a year, but I guess it's not that soon.
How about you do this with your mom? How about you say, look, you found some stuff in there you weren't too happy about, and I'll give you that. I wasn't too happy about you invading my privacy. I'll make you a deal. How about I'll stop doing that stuff you didn't like. You stop reading my diary, and let's try to get along for another year and a half before I go to college.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, just to clear it up, though, the like drugs thing is like weed three times. So it's not out of control or anything.
Okay. All right. Your mom's a little intrusive, but ultimately, she doesn't have it in for you.
Right.
I mean, I think this is the message that needs to be sent to a lot of these kids, that the parent is trying to protect their kid.
Yep.
And maybe this isn't the best way to go about it, but it's sort of...
That's all she could do.
They're worried, yeah. So that's the way she showed it.
Christy, 19.
Yeah.
Oh, that Alexa sounds like a bitch. God damn.
Christy.
Hello.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, my boyfriend just had appendicitis, and he had to get his appendix taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And he says now that, like, he can't get horny.
Well, when was he in surgery? Yesterday?
No, it was like a month or two ago.
2 months ago?
Yeah, and I don't know if he's lying to me or...
Is he still on medication?
No.
No meds.
But he has been smoking a lot of weed lately.
Well, that'll cut it out. I mean, that'll knock his sex drive way down.
And he was hot and horny before the appendicitis?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. There's nothing about the appendicitis at 2 months that should be really bugging him. I mean, it could go for 6 weeks or so, I suppose. But 2 months seems... Was it complicated? Was he in the hospital for a long time? Did he rupture his appendix?
No, he was in the hospital for like 3 days. And there's a pretty nasty scar, but...
I was about to say, maybe he's just a little... I have friends, you get surgery and you're just a little sketchy about all touching for a while afterwards.
Yeah, but 2 months. It's a pretty long time for a 19-year-old. But the pot and all may be what's doing it more than the surgery.
Yeah. That would probably... Why don't you see if we can cut back on that and see what it does for him?
Exactly. Joanne, 17.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Joanne.
Hey, my question is for Joshua Jackson. Well, first I want to say that, I've seen him in a lot of his movies and everything, and I just wanted to say that Pacey, his role for Pacey fits perfectly. And my question, well, I actually have two questions. My first one is, what kept you on the show for so long?
A contract.
Paycheck. Yeah.
A job.
It's a job. You're contracted for for generally 6 to 7 years. So I'm here honoring the contract.
So you wouldn't really do it if it wasn't for the contract?
No. When I got this job, I was 18 years old, unemployed, and broke. So he put me in that situation again and tell me that 6 years later I'd be here, I would absolutely jump at this opportunity. I'm just saying that the reason I've stuck with it for so long is because the contract is what it is, and you honor the show, and you honor the fact that I signed a piece of paper that said I would be here for this long.
Well, there's that sort of part where, and then this happens with everyone's career, I mean, hopefully, where it hasn't happened with ours yet, but there's that part where they're doing you a favor by putting you on the air, and that goes on for a couple of seasons, and then there's the sort of part where you're doing them a favor by staying on the air, and to me, that 6 year mark is probably right about.
We're about right.
You guys are square now.
Yeah, they go hand in hand. Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And there's also the catch 22. I think a lot of people get into it. It's, you know, this show when it first came out was a pretty big sensation, and Katie was on the cover of Rolling Stone, and blah blah blah. And people forget really quickly that the catch 22 is they're only talking. You know, the only reason that the interest is there is because of the show. So when people want to leave and jump off and go and do other things, I think they're really forgetting what it is that got them there in the first place.
Right.
So that's why I'm still here.
This is Chris 18.
Yeah. I was wondering, I just listened to that chick who was mad because her mom read her diary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I don't get what girl's obsession with keeping a diary is. Do you have any clue?
It's like a criminal videotaping his crimes. It's retarded.
Yeah, I don't think any guy gets this. We need a female in the audience to explain this.
Well, if you're going to write a book one day, I mean, if you're Anne Frank or something, if you're just a smoking weed in Portland and banging your teenage boyfriend, no need to document that. We've got a pretty good idea that's what you're up to. I mean, if you're trapped on some desert island or you're running from the Nazis, keep a diary by all means. I mean, the world needs to share this experience. But you're just sort of sitting home. Here's a guy's diary. We just close our eyes and start beating off, thinking about someone we nailed in high school.
Close your eyes.
I close one eye.
Okay.
The other one I keep on my penis. I don't trust it. I don't want it to hop in my mouth like it did
sometimes.
One time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It did it one. Well,
now, see, where was that today when the improv?
Yeah.
Where was that?
I don't know.
Sorry, I didn't give the proper leading question.
You got my B material. Uh-oh. Let's
take a commercial break.
Because I'm
here.
A Twitter.
A B in there?
All right. Yeah, no. Let's do that. Josh Jackson here from Dawson's Creek, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. We're out here in North Carolina doing Dawson's Creek all week. Josh Jackson is our guest tonight. He's was directing our episode, and we brought him in here. And he's a trooper because he still has a full day of work ahead of him tomorrow, as does Dr. Drew. Yeah. I got to kiss a little ass every once in a while. All right. Let's I have to apologize for my behaviors. I was sleep deprived. I was a little bit cranky. But I'm all barked.
Did the staff complain about it?
Right.
Because was it yesterday? I gotta yell at somebody. I gotta yell at them.
just make yourself feel comfortable.
Because they made him sit on it was one of those scenes where we weren't really needed or something. They made him come on the set for something, and he had to wait 5 minutes.
Well, I was taking a nap.
That's ultimately my fault, just for not being specific about the things that I wanted. The only thing that we did, we took bets on why it was that you were so good after lunch yesterday.
That wasn't good. See, he thought he was being bad. That was all contempt.
That's what the one person was saying, he's just pissed off.
Yes, that was irritability.
I chalked it up to nap. You had nap time written all over you, buddy.
I took a good long nap.
Yeah. You were still in deep REM. The eyes were open, but nobody was home.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. It's a good way to go through life. I'm going to write that in my diary.
Isabel, 21.
Hi. Hey. Guys, what's up?
We're good.
Okay, here's my problem. I am just got a job and am working for a production company, and my boss's boss has kind of proposed a threesome with him and his wife. And I don't know how to exactly say no without offending him.
Really?
And you're not offended by his. Here's the deal. Record this in some way. What he's done. Get a documentation of some type, and then there'll be no problems.
For sexual harassment, but I don't know how to keep my job there and to keep things.
How did he propose this?
Well, it was kind of, I thought he was kind of joking at first. Yeah. He was just talking about how, because I went out with them to a club one night, and, we were just having drinks, and he was talking about how, my sexual past, and, if I'd ever thought about having a threesome. Right. And
so he's got brass tacks, this guy.
Who cares?
Oh, we care.
Aww.
All right, but listen, there's no way he can fire you if you don't. And you should pray he fires you because you'll just
own the company, yeah,
after this.
And here's another fallacy. I think a part of the hesitation, you're working in a production company and you sort of want to be a team player, and this is probably what he's playing against, hoping to get you into bed with he and his wife. Sleeping with this guy, being a team player, and not mentioning this to anybody, he's not going to help you get your next job. You're not going to move any farther up the company because you do this. So say no, and you'll be fine.
I definitely want to say no. I just don't know how to go about it.
Just say no.
You have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
You have a boyfriend.
Already told him she doesn't. Did you tell him you didn't have a boyfriend?
Yes, I don't.
Yeah, just tell him you're not interested.
Yeah, he'll
be afraid. He'll back
off. He can understand. He certainly should be able to understand if you tell him that you think the whole thing's sort of inappropriate, but this isn't your style anyway.
Okay.
You're done. That's it. And if he pushes, I mean, this guy's just a full-fledged idiot.
Yeah.
Because
you'll own the company.
Yeah. Right.
And call an attorney at that point.
Is there another boss on top of him? No pun intended?
Yes.
Okay. There's a boss over him?
Okay, so if he pushes, then your next step is to go right to that guy or girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally inappropriate. Do not get this guy.
These Hollywood guys. I mean, it's not like he's a celebrity like me. Where this kind of behavior is appropriate. This
totally
guy's an executive.
But what are you doing on Saturday?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Frank, 32.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You guys hear me all right? I'm on the cell phone.
Yep.
Hey, I just quit smoking weed after, 17 years or so, every day.
Okay, yeah.
Excuse me. Anyways, I thought it was going to be hard, but so far it's not really been hard at all. And the one thing, though, that's kind of changed is I'm just hornier now.
Just Are you doing any other drugs?
What's that?
Any other drugs?
No.
Nothing, no alcohol, nothing.
Well, yeah, a little bit of alcohol, but more of an occasional wine drinker.
All right.
But not every day.
No.
All right, so you're hornier. Yeah. What's the question?
So what I'm wondering is this I was wondering if this is going to be my problem now, because, see, in the past.
Yeah.
You think you've shifted your addiction.
Yeah. That's the thing with all addictions. You switch. You don't just stop something. Your brain requires this reward system to continue to be massaged biologically, and it can be done through many, many ways, but sex is one of the ways. Stealing is a way. Speed, gambling, heroin. You can switch, alcohol. Pick your poison, but you've switched over to sex.
Well, what are you doing, seeing prostitutes?
Oh, man. No, I don't want to get into that, really, but...
All right, well, let's hang up on him. That's fine. He doesn't want to get into it. Listen, but okay, so overall, you quit, you stopped, but your brain is moving on. It's going to find something else, and that's why you got to get into recovery, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right, so do that, and you'll be fine.
Jamie, 15.
Hi, I was going to answer your question, or... that other dude's question of why girls keep diaries.
All right.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's actually a way for us to deal with the stress that goes on in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting fact, girls die of heart attacks half as often as guys do because they cry. So
yeah, no. No one has ever made that connection.
Because they cry.
I'm crying right now.
Girls die of heart attack because they don't die of heart attack because they don't have testosterone, which is bad for the endothelium.
Damn right.
And they cry.
I'm just about to say that.
And you guys don't... listen, I'll tell you another reason why girls don't die of heart attacks is all the women in our lives have been were asleep 4 hours ago and are going to be sleeping 4 hours after we get up. And we're dragging our ass out here every night, busting our ass. Yeah.
Here's another question about the diary thing. Why don't you just write in code? Why don't you come up with your own personal language? You know what it is, but nobody else does. That way you never run into the problem of, my mom wrote the diary, and now I'm in deep trouble.
Right. You replace pot with daffodils, and you replace sex or boys. You pick a couple a couple of sort of innocuous items, and you just do it. And then you put the old laminate the translation page right in the front so your wife can look it up, or your mom. All right, so what else? So women, you're dealing with the stress of what? Not having a stressful life?
Yeah. Basically.
Is there a certain amount of stress and a certain amount of pressure not having stress in your life? Of what? What do you women want, by the way?
15 sucked. 15 was stressful.
And 15 sucks for everybody. You think it's worse being a woman than it is being a man?
Yeah, probably.
Why?
Especially at this age, because we're going through, I believe, a lot more hormonally.
Of course you do. You're
yeah, girl. All right, it is.
You know what? At 15, men are sort of peaking out in terms of the speed and intensity of hormonal changes. And about 1 out of 5 10th graders are males are contemplating suicide.
Yeah, and let me say this.
Because of these biological changes, not because of stress, just the biological environment they're in.
You know why only 1 for every 10 women of a male dies of breast cancer, Drew? Because we cry in our...
We don't get breast cancer then.
Yeah, yeah. There's got to be a reason we don't get breast cancer, is it?
We cry.
And same with ovarian cancer. It's us crying. Oh, please.
All right, I got to take a break.
Chicks. Oh, look, please. What kind of stress they have in their life to sit around and concoct these retarded theories? It means you've got too much time on your hand. Put this in your diary so you can look at it in 5 years and realize what an idiot you were.
All right, we're taking a break.
All right, we'll be back. Thank Joshua Jackson for coming in here and being a trooper, staying up late with us, and being a pro and a gentleman all week long, directing our Dawson's Creek episode.
Thanks for having me, guys. Now I know what you've been going through all week.
Yes.
And whatever hassle Adam's been giving me, just think about the fact that in an hour and a half he's getting picked up to go to the airport.
My revenge.
Good times. I want to thank Sonia over here for helping out. And I want to thank Alex all week long for doing a great job over here in North Carolina. And Anderson for working overtime, putting this whole thing together. And Lauren and phone screener Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Yeah, Brian and a producer, Ann. And until next
Dawson
time.
Thanks, guys, for having us out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, until next time.
A lot of love out here in the Carolinas. I can feel it.
This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. You said nail her, go in the back door, and kick her to the curb. And that's what I did, Drew. Yeah.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.